Now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green's World, a fun and informative green talk radio show that features guests from all over the country who talk about how living green can improve your lifestyle and be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website, www.mrsgreensworld.com, for more information about her guests.
Hello, world. Welcome to Mrs. Green's World. This is News Talk 790 KNST. We have an action-packed, informative show today, but needless to say, I have to take a minute to send love and blessings to each of you and to everyone whose lives have been impacted by last week's tragedy. So many people in my life were either on the scene or at UMC, so it was a very challenging day last week, and I just hope that everybody continues to focus on that good things will come out of this and that they are indeed already. And thanks to everybody in Mrs. Green's World for your support of me. My normal Facebooking and Twitter activity was greatly diminished, and I got so many posts of things that sustained me. So I just had to do a sincere, heartfelt shout out to everybody for people that supported me. So thank you, and I really appreciate it. I felt like I was honored to be in the audience last week and to hear the president, and I know there's been a lot of spin on, was it a pep rally? And if you were there, the cheering was for the heroes and for Gabby opening her eyes and on and on, and it really did not become political, and all of our elected officials were in the audience, and it was a time of healing. So there you go, and let's have a great show today, because that's all about sustainability too. We have an in-studio guest, Kevin Moore Cook from Technicians for Sustainability, who will be on after the first break, and we have a call-in guest today. I'm so excited about my partnership with Miraval, and we have Chef Chad Luce, who I have met, and he's calling in to talk to us about some of the great food and some of the green things they do at Miraval Resort and Spa. Thank you so much for calling in, Chef Luce. How are you?
Oh, my pleasure. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. And I hear you're sitting outside U of A ready to go in for the 12:30
ready for the tip-off against ASU. That's
okay.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Go Cats. And I'll be listening.
Bear down.
Bear down is right. It's going to be, oh, let's go. Come on. So on with what's going on at Miraval. One of the things that I'd like to talk about, since I did stay there, I think a lot of people think that healthy food is like a piece of broiled chicken and, you know, salad with a little sprinkle of vinegar on it. And I will tell you that the food at Miraval was delicious and healthy. So how do you pull that off?
You know, I think you hit it exactly right. I think the most common misconception about spa food is you make the jump right to nursing home food. So bland, overcooked, tasteless, you know, boiled to mush, and it couldn't be further from the truth, you know. So the way that we make the magic happen with our food at Miraval is just really focusing on fresh, seasonal ingredients, local, wherever we can get them, and, you know, really looking for creative ways to create familiar flavors and textures using, healthy alternatives, things like that. But I'm a big believer in flavor, and I love food. So I think that really, you know, flows right into what we're doing there. So
I love food too. And I thought about, do I have to sneak in some peanut butter? And it was so not that. And I know a lot of it is spices. It wasn't spicy food. It was healthy
fresh herbs.
Spices.
It's, you know, it's vinegars, it's reductions, you know,
right.
Seasonal produce, and just, you know, the best meat and seafood and wild game and, you know, just all kinds of things. That really create those great flavors.
I have to throw in that I was thrilled. My girlfriend Cindy and I were there, and boy, you can be sure we were lined up for the middle of the day chocolate chip cookies. It's like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
They have chocolate chip cookies. So it is all about a balance, and the food that you do have, all of the nutritional content is posted. So if you do want a piece of bacon, you at least can be consciously aware of the fat content and the calories, and it is about consciousness and eating balance. So I got to tell you, I absolutely love the food, and I can't wait to come back.
Excellent. Well, you know, and it's also about choice. So you can eat as healthy as you like, but, you know, if you want to indulge yourself and you want a little sliver of, you know, foie gras or some applewood smoked bacon or a nice steak, you know, you can get that as well. So
right.
It's all about choice.
Right. And I know that one of the challenges of all local restaurants and local establishments, especially on the scale at which you have to do it, is they want to support local growers, local farmers, local produce providers, but it's Tucson and not everything
right.
grows here. So what do you do about that? Do you make an attempt to support the local farmers?
You know, we really do. I mean, it's, as you mentioned, it's Tucson, so, you know, there's a limit to what can be found around here, but there are a lot of really cool things. You know, some really good examples of what we use are we get all of our tomatoes from Wilcox. We get killer bee honey in from Bisbee, which is actually my hometown.
Awesome.
And, you know, we buy spices and different specialty grain products and things like that from Hope or from Mount Hope Foods up in Cottonwood. From time to time, we use Double Check Ranch for our grass-fed beef. This product is available. We use Maya tea for all of our loose leaf and iced teas. You know, so we've got several options. We try and hit the 17th Street Farmers Market whenever possible and see what's new and exciting down there.
And that's huge. So, I mean, that to me, that's huge. It's such a statement about Miraval. I think it's like a little treasure that I think more people, anybody that I know coast to coast, has heard about Miraval. And when I went there, I want to overcome the idea that it's priced unbelievably out of the market. There are great day spas. You can go for the day. There are a lot of community events that are out there. If you can spend the night, you can go to cooking classes with Chef Luce, correct?
That's right. We do cooking demonstrations every day except for Sunday, right around the lunch hour. And we touch on all variety of topics from fruits and vegetables to grains to simple baking, seafood, sauces, soups, I mean, you name it. It's a really fun, interactive demo where the guests get to learn an awful lot about what's going on, taste everything that we're making, you know, ask as many questions as they like, and it's a really neat thing.
And it's fun, and it's a really fun atmosphere. I know the person that checked us in and took us on a little tour said, this is not a library. This is a place where you can come and have fun and laugh and have a glass of wine. And it's not a sedate atmosphere. It's awesome. You actually have Dr. Weil out there doing the Center for Integrative Wellness. And I came out to a presentation when they opened that. And you have
right.
wellness. You can go and go do a four-day wellness workshop and stay there. And there's one of those coming up on January 30th.
That's right. That's the next one coming up, and that's a really, really incredible opportunity for people to come out and really learn about, you know, all aspects of health, you know, mind, body, spirit,
yep.
You know, the nutritional aspect, the alternative medicine aspect, the practical real-life aspect of things with all different types of experts in their respective fields, and of course, Dr. Weil, who is
and you get to stay at
absolutely
Miraval.
Amazing, and you get to stay at Miraval,
which is like I love it.
Amazing
they have
spa treatments and great food. I mean,
there's so much
yeah.
to do. It's really awesome. So thank you for calling in. Go Cats! And
go Cats!
Yes, we'll be talking to people from Miraval throughout the year, and they can get you, of course, at MiravalResortAndSpas.com, or always find me through Mrs. Green. Mrs. Green's World. So thanks a lot, Chef Luce, and go
and
Cats.
If I can just throw one last thing in there,
yes.
If you'd like any of our Miraval recipes, you can go to our website, which is MiravalResorts.com/recipes.
Great,
find a
great,
whole
great.
List of recipes that we share with the public.
I love that. I love that. It's a really great website. So take care and get in there.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. 790KNST.com. Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790KNST, action-packed, informative show today. We just heard from Chef Chad Luce, who's going into the game at Miraval at U of A, Go Cats. And we have in studio Kevin Moore Cook from Technicians for Sustainability, who has more to share with us than I can fit into the show. I have a couple of really quick announcements. Please remember always 520-880-5678. Throughout the show, if you have questions for Kevin or you want to do any commenting, please feel free to call 520-880-5678. I do want to point out that we have a contest going on at our website, Mrs. Green's World, and it's about your New Year's resolutions, and I think this is a great time after what happened last week to what are you going to commit to in your sustainable life, and we would love for you to enter and visit our website. On January 22nd, RISE Recycling Program is collecting electronic devices from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., and their store is located at 22nd and Park on the west side of the street, northwest side of the street. They will be taking everything, working and non-worker computers, TVs, other electronics, and their cell phones are collected for reuse. They give them to women's shelters. So if you do bring a TV, you have to pay $10, and that's because of the way that they have to dispose them, and $2 for CRT, which is a cathode ray tube, and they want you to know that. But I really hope that you'll use this as an opportunity to get the electronic devices that you're no longer using, because you got new ones this Christmas, to get them over there. They do use their cell phones, as I said, they give them to a local women's shelter. They're great partners in our community. I hope you do that. And then two other quick things, actually three. Wells Fargo is one of my sponsors, and they were written up in one of the publications that I read every day. It's called Green Biz. And again, they're getting accolades for their green practices. It's Wells Fargo best kept secret. We talked about it at the Mrs. Green team meeting yesterday. So there are reasons why I have every sponsor that I have, and I vet them just like they vet me. And I will tell you, Wells Fargo is still the cleanest, the greenest bank in the United States, and the 13th greenest company in the country as well. So if you're looking for a new bank, I have the feeling of a community bank when I go in there and I give the shout out. I love to see another third party give major, major points to all they're doing. It's one of their top four initiatives to go even greener this year. And then the Arizona Green Plumber. Dude, this guy, John Smith, he's everywhere. He is such a great guy. And he was delivering. We didn't have the Habit Store show last week, but not only did he get the toilets donated for their new location, he shows up and he has his staff install them. And they're these Niagara, they're called the Stealth. And I just love to give those acts of service by so many people in Mrs. Green's world a big shout out. And John Smith, I don't know if you remember, I had him on the show. And when he first contacted me, I'm like, yeah, John Smith, really? Tell me your real name. I screen my calls. So the Arizona Green Plumber is just a wonderful guy. And another thing that I've decided to get involved in because I believe in it so much is the Marana has a Can Do 5K. I did a half marathon about 2 years ago. I will never do another one again. Trust me, the last 3 miles almost killed me, and I was kind of hoping it would. It was really pretty tough. But again, this 5K, they are doing it in partnership. Your entry fee is a bag of non-perishable food that'll be donated to the community food bank in Marana, and you bring it that day. You can sign up online at MiranaChamber.com, and it's going to be another community event, which I think is so great. I can't be there because I'm going to be doing a live remote at the food co-op that day, but they have all the information about the kind of foods they need, what kind of sponsorships are available, how you register to run, and they had 400 people registered last year, and 100 more people showed up the day of to register, so it's a great opportunity to go out and give and be around. They'll have some farmers markets booths up there, so it's great. And if you want any information, you know, you can always find it in Mrs. Green's world. It's on our event page, and we love to support these community events for free because that's what it's all about, just being in service, especially if you're Mrs. Green's team. We love to promote good green things in the community. So Kevin, now it's all about you. Kevin Moore Cook is the, you know, you don't call yourself the president, do you? Are you the president and CEO? There's no titles on your website, and I loved that because I'm part of the team, and I don't have a title on Mrs. Green.
Yeah, I feel very similarly. I'm part of a staff that's bound together by a vision for implementing sustainable technologies in Tucson.
And talk about some of those. Because you have, there's, like I said, there's more than we could ever cover in one show, but I've got some really good questions for you. And I know you're locally owned. You started in 2003. And when I was there and visited you, most of the people bike to work. So there's that whole aspect. But let's talk about the core business and what you do first so that I don't forget to bring that up, which is a good reason why you're here. What do you do?
Yeah, our business has evolved from, you know, we started out mostly doing residential and small commercial photovoltaic systems, solar electric systems. And we incorporated solar hot water a few years into the business, and we've also incorporated rainwater harvesting and a limited amount of gray water work as well. Those are the things that we offer as a service. We think sustainability is something much bigger than just those technologies, and so we certainly are involved in other aspects of sustainability. We have our staff is very active, as you said, in riding bikes both to work and also at work to the job site when we can. We also, our staff participates in a local food co-op where some friends of Technicians for Sustainability farm local land and bring a delivery of food every week to the staff that we all get to eat. So we're involved in bigger picture things, but really the services we offer are solar electric systems, solar hot water systems, and rainwater harvesting systems.
And I love that you're right near 4th Avenue, because to me, we were talking about this at our team meeting yesterday, one of the neatest places that anybody living in Tucson or visiting Tucson can go to me is 4th Avenue. You see cultural diversity, you see great restaurants, there are fun places to shop. It's alive down there always, and I don't think people forget to go down there. There's Antigone and Sea of Green and the Food Co-op and Popcycle. I could spend a day in Popcycle. It's like Mrs. Green died and went to heaven. So there are lots of fun shops, Bison Witches, great places to eat. I can't think of all of them. So it's really a wonderful, wonderful place to hang out. And you're right there. You're very close.
For all the talk about downtown being dead and how can we revive it, it's thriving there. We love being in the neighborhood.
It's thriving. Mm-hmm. It's teeming with activity. You can even go get a Dairy Queen if you want. It's
yep.
locally owned.
One of the things we love from our office window, the bike route to downtown, a lot of people pass by our on 7th right in front of our shop, and we see people riding by all the time, waving to us, supporting,
right,
you know,
right.
Feeling supportive.
How did you pick the name, Technicians for Sustainability? It doesn't really talk about what you do. It doesn't say solar store, but, I mean, George from Geo Innovation is one of my mm-hmm. friends and a supporter of Mrs. Green. So how did you pick that name? I've started companies, so picking a name is always the challenge.
It really was. It felt like it embodied our mission. We started out as electricians. My business partner was a licensed electrician. I had a background in solar energy. And it really was chosen because of its focus on our mission. We didn't envision that the only thing we would do is electrical and solar electric systems. We really wanted our focus to be on helping to implement sustainable technologies in Southern Arizona. And we felt that we were in implementing it, we chose technicians who are implementing sustainability. So
right.
That's kind of how it came together. It was really just a discussion about the mission, and it came out of my business partner did a course at Prescott College, and it came out of his efforts at Prescott College to develop the business.
Prescott College, another one. It's just one of the treasures of Arizona that gets praise all over the country for their programs. And they have a local campus, and my daughter went there for a while before she moved to Taos, and if she's listening, I hope she knows I still don't forgive her. We make jokes about that all the time. I miss them so much. She took my grandbabies away. So let's talk about, I'd love to spend some time talking about the corporate culture, because there are things related to the business you do, to your core business. So for energy, for example, and I do so much of my research on the website. Your website is great. Your tagline is it's walking your talk. There's another one that says turning values into actions. Mm-hmm. And expand on that, because for this show, people are looking for solar partners. I think solar is confusing. I think people don't know about the incentives. I think we have to hit on some of that. But in terms of values for a company, I do tons of research. Locally owned is the way to go from every perspective. So let's just talk about one aspect for what you do in terms of how is your building heated or cooled? That's a value.
Yeah. we certainly look for any opportunity. Sustainability isn't just going installing solar systems on people's homes. It's
right.
How you install those systems. It's the culture of the people in your company, and it's certainly how you heat and cool your building, how you travel to work, how you eat. It's interwoven in so many ways. And the heating and cooling for our building, we do have fossil fuel sources for heating and cooling, but
that's reality.
That's the reality at this point.
It is at this point.
But we do have a solar assist on our heating system. So we have several collectors up on the roof that provide the initial heating for our heating system.
Just quickly explain to us before the break, what's a solar drain back system?
It's a type of hot water system. So
okay.
we can heat solar heated hot water can be done in a number of different ways. And a drain back system is a way that we like because it has really good freeze protection and overheating protection. In our climate, you have to address both of those to have a properly designed solar hot water heating system. So it's one of the tools in our bag to get a good solar hot water system for people.
Okay, we'll be right back. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST, Kevin Moore Cook, Technicians for Sustainability. Lots more content. We're going to talk about the faith-based community you're working with. And we'll be right back.
790KNST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST. We have in studio with us Kevin Moore Cook, who is a founder of Technicians for Sustainability in the rapidly expanding world of solar. It's an exciting place to be, Kevin. Would you agree?
Oh, yes. It's been a tremendous, tremendous ride in the past.
The growth of it is like, I think TEP told me that they had 29 approved solar providers 2 years ago, and that list is now closer to 200, which begs the question for me. So I'm John Q. Public, and I want to start with solar. I can't afford a $30,000 extreme energy makeover. What would you say to someone who calls you or wants to find a reputable solar company? What would you say that they should do first, and how do they find that right company that meets their needs? Because there are a number of good ones that I can think of out there, yours included.
Yeah, it's an important question. There are a lot of companies out there. A lot of people are advertising heavily in the solar field at this point. My recommendations to people are to, same as in really anything that you're purchasing, to do your due diligence.
Do your homework.
There are companies out there who you will not either get as good of a deal from financially or quality of work wise. And then there are a whole host of companies that all have high levels of integrity but offer different features. Some of them are local companies, if local is very important to you. Some of them are national companies but may be able to bring financing to the table that a local company couldn't bring to the table. Some
great
are very
you say that. Really great of you to add
some
that.
Some of them are very environmentally driven. Others are you know, there's just a tremendous host of different things. So the important thing is to understand first what it is that you value in a company that you work with. And then I think you can't do any better than to find somebody who has worked with a number of companies and get referrals for them about what went well and what, if anything, didn't go well. So I think word of mouth is just can't be beat. From there, we recommend that people interview several companies over the phone at the very least to get a good sense of who they are and make sure you check references on folks. And then have people out and talk to them and see how you connect with their representatives and whether the company feels like a good fit for you.
And I think your websites, I mean, where was their life before the web? Because when I'm looking for some business, I look and see who their other clients were, if it's up there, and what kind of letters have been written, because people will tell. I mean, if you're in the restaurant business, you really don't want anybody to say anything negative about you on Yelp. Just because people are looking if you're yelping about it.
We live in a day and age where you can get reviews about any
Everything.
Business online,
right.
And it that shows up.
I know, the whole social media conversation. So if you were me, John Q. Public, and you wanted to put your toe in the water, what would be the first thing that you would look at for your home that's affordable, that will make a difference? Because I think there mm-hmm. is always saving money, and people forget about that. You do save on your electricity as you're converting, and you can offset the charges. So if you were me, what would you do first?
Yeah, so if you're a homeowner or a business owner, sort of catchphrase in the industry for a long time has been pursue energy efficiency options first, and that remains true today. The caveat that I would put towards that is that Tucson Electric Power and all the utilities in the state are about to come out with amazing energy efficiency programs. The Arizona Corporation Commission has instituted a mandate for savings based on energy efficiency, and you should do a show on that in and of itself. It will be amazing when that comes out. That's not released yet. So there may be some reason to hold off just a little bit to take advantage of some of those programs. If you're looking at doing solar, you know that you're ready to do solar. Whether you choose to start with solar hot water or start with a photovoltaic system really depends on what your objectives are and how many people live in your household, how much hot water you use. If you use a lot of hot water, if you've got three or more people in your household, or maybe two and more with good usage and you have an electric hot water heater, solar hot water is going to give you a better return on investment
right
off the bat. Some people, even if they have two people and it's not quite as good of a return on investment, they still like to start with solar hot water because it's a lower initial cost. You're in the $2,000 after tax credits range, and about $4,500 or less upfront cost. So so that's really a place that a lot of people like to start. But other times, if you have limited hot water use, solar hot water may not be the best return on investment for you. Solar electric systems, you could start with one that you could grow. It might start at 20 or 30% of your electric bill, and then you could move it up to a larger portion over time.
And that when you talk about the TEP incentives, they're one of Mrs. Green's biggest sponsors, and they're going to be using me to help get the word out both on the show and in my other social media outlets. And I saw somebody on Thursday at the CEO Leadership Summit that Biz Tucson did, and they were kind of teasing me. They're saying, we'll let you know, Gina, we'll let you know, because I'm a walking billboard for the incentives that they do. And yet, Paul Bonavia, who I just admire greatly, honestly talked to a room about 900 people at La Paloma and talked about it's still just a tiny piece of the big energy. When you said fossil fuel, it's not the silver bullet. In your crystal ball, do you see that it will accelerate and the technology will change and the prices will become cheaper? Because with almost any new thing, and I think about when computers first came out, because I'm that old, and cell phones and flat screen TVs, the more it gets widespread, the price points decrease and the incentives will be great. So I know you can't tell me any of them, but I will be having it on here a lot.
Well, we have seen a tremendous decrease in the price of solar as it's gone mainstream and as the adoption has gone really through the roof. We've seen the prices come down. Module prices have come down over the past 3 to 4 years. They've come down 50%. So they used to be in the $4 a watt range. Now they're down in the $2 a watt range. And as well, companies like mine have gone to scale, where our processes for installation are much more efficient and our costs have come down. So we've seen a tremendous decrease in prices. We've also seen that the rebates have followed that. So the final return on investment to the customer is staying in a similar range.
So it's really, I think people are seeing it as more of an option. You certainly see more panels on roofs, and I know that a lot of people are doing retrofits of their homes instead of moving because of the impact that the recession has had. So it's really, to me, a perfect time to think about, okay, I'm staying here. What can I do to make my home more energy efficient? And there's so many, many things that you can do, from your plumbing audits to your electricity, any energy audits and that kind of thing. So that's awesome. I can't wait to hear what more is going on with TEP. How much can you tell me about? I'm very interested about what my friend Hank called me, Hank Krizak, and he is a wonderful supporter of Mrs. Green, and he talked to me about what you're doing in partnership with nonprofits, and in particular, in this case, faith-based organizations, because before, I don't think they were eligible for the rebates. Is that right?
Yeah, so nonprofits, because they don't have federal tax liability or state tax liability, can't take advantage of one of the major incentives for implementing solar. the door to nonprofits being able to implement solar on their own in their own businesses has opened in the past year or so with third-party financing mechanisms coming into the market. And we're seeing this both on the residential and the commercial level. Typically, those financing products weren't available for small projects, for less than half a megawatt or a megawatt projects, large systems. That dynamic has changed, and we're now in a situation where we can, for systems above about 50 kilowatts, we can make a third-party financing option work where the nonprofit is paying as much or less than they are currently for electricity. They fix their future electric prices, and they can get solar on their property. So we've been able to do this successfully with the Nature Conservancy. We just finished a 80 kilowatt system there. You can go by and check that out. And we've leveraged what we learned from that installation to create a model that is going to allow us to do other systems. And we're in the process of working with Our Mother of Sorrows and Hank, and actually there's a Pima Interfaith Council that is looking into spreading the word about the ability of nonprofits and faith-based nonprofits in particular to be able that the door's open. They can essentially, there are ways to finance a nonprofit that's got a good credit history, and they can implement solar and have long-term savings.
You know, I went to a presentation in the beginning of Mrs. Green, so it was years ago, and my jaw dropped because I was hearing about, when you think about schools and churches and auditoriums, there is so much demand for energy. You have to keep the gym, even though it's empty, cool. So a switch like that to energy efficiency, and the part that I see, so much of their electrical systems are not really up to speed. There's so many different things. This is, to me, when Hank was telling me about it, it's like, you're kidding. This is a very, very great opportunity for Tucson and for the planet.
Yes. Well, the other thing that's really important about including nonprofits in the solar movement is that it's really such an important opportunity from a visibility point of view. And one of the things that Hank is really involved in is this care for creation idea that it's the responsibility of faith-based organizations to care for our planet. And he's very excited to be able to implement solar as part of that overall mission.
So do you have to get the project approved by TEP? What's the process?
Yeah, it's quite complicated. There's a lot of steps involved. Obviously, the board of the nonprofit and any committees have to approve it first. So we have to go through quite a process with them. That's followed by getting a preliminary approval on a rebate from TEP. They're paying for a significant portion of these systems. Then we also have to work with the financing party to make sure that they approve the credit for the project. And once we do that, we can go ahead and get a system installed.
And hopefully all of the paperwork is available online. I'm just kidding. I'm thinking mountains of paper for this great sustainability project. Okay, everybody, you're listening to Kevin Moore Cook, Technicians for Sustainability. This is Mrs. Green's World News Talk 790 KNST. Please stay here with me. We've got lots of more good things to share.
790KNST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World News Talk 790 KNST. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And if you're not, you better be at U of A. Go Cats, because it's U of A and ASU. It's really one of the hottest games of the year. So let's hope. I'll be tuning in as soon as I get in the car. Okay, so we have Kevin Moore Cook, who is one of the team of people that are coming together to make our community a better one at Technicians for Sustainability. Their tagline is turning values into action. Loved it. Loved everything about your website. So I'd like to talk a little bit more about the corporate culture, because to me there is a huge part of this. And let me explain what happens in my head. I see people that I really believe are committed in some areas of their life to sustainability, and then I see a couple of cases of plastic bottles in their garage. And then I see them have the water running while they go do something around the house, and they leave it on. And then I see them, and it's not judgment. It's just conscious. I'm conscious now. My sustainability radar is up. I try every way that I can to live consciously, which to me is the definition of sustainability. Some people pull out 5 paper towels to dry their hands, and I just, you know, one of my favorite expressions is like, dude, do you know what you're doing? That's all going in the trash, and it had to be transported here. I don't. I'm still invited to people's homes because I'm not here to preach. So with your corporate culture, could you just talk a little bit more about that? I think people are interested because you have it going on with water, with transportation, with where you purchase things, with recycling, with your employees and their core values, with the community. You really are helping creating a sustainable future for Tucson with some of the other things you're involved in. So shoot.
Yeah, well, as we said at the beginning, sustainability is multifaceted. It's you're really not fulfilling your mission if all you're doing is implementing solar.
It's not something you do, it's how you be.
It's pervasive, and I think you know, we're living in a society that doesn't have sustainability integrated naturally into all of our actions. And so it's something that we have to take on consciously. And because of that, none of us is doing it 100%. None of us are. And it's something I think about every day and implementing in my life and my business. And our business is driving, you know, 6 or 7 vehicles around every day burning fossil fuels. We're trying to use the most efficient vehicles we can for the job that we have to do. But we're not at a state of absolute sustainability.
And it's not easy all the time either, because, I mean, plastic bags are tossed at you. Most places of business offer you a plastic bottle. There's lots of things that a 10% shift could change magnificently. It could change the planet magnificently.
In terms of our company culture, we are, we hire people for their fit with our mission, and then we train them for their job. Obviously, we look for people with skills for whatever job we're hiring for, but really, that's a core part of our hiring process. We've been very fortunate to find there's 37 of us at this point, and everybody has a different approach to how they implement sustainability, but it's a core piece of why anybody has come to work with Technicians for Sustainability. And so what that means is that it's not just me saying, okay, well, this is what we're going to do to implement sustainability. There are people who are, we have one person who is fanatical about junk mail. She calls up.
Too.
Yeah, she calls everybody who ever sends us junk mail. She will get us off of their list so that we don't receive a mountain of junk mail all the time. We have a strong culture of recycling. We have, as I said, most of our staff bike to work. It's great to come into work and see. We have a bike rack that, usually I'll have 15 or 16 bicycles hung from it, and there's bikes outside. And
does Lon Huber bike to work?
He does. Almost all of our staff bikes at least sometimes, and some of our staff bike all of the time. It depends. If he's got something to go to that requires a car, he'll take the car.
You need a car in Tucson, pretty much.
Yeah.
But Brad Lancaster doesn't have one.
No, but he has driven in my car with me.
Have you ever driven him to the airport? Because he was on the show once, and I said, Brad, please don't tell me you go to the airport with a backpack. And he goes, okay, I won't tell you. But that's what he does. He went his bicycle.
Yes.
That's the first for me. I didn't think anybody on the planet took their bike to the airport. I said, well, I have one suitcase that's usually shoes, but I don't anymore. I pack lighter. That's another little step you can do.
Yes.
So go ahead.
I was blessed actually at one point when Brad first bought his Bike Friday, which has a trailer that turns into a suitcase behind it, and you can pack your bike and ride it to the airport. And he let me use it at a solar conference a few years back, and I flew to San Diego or Los Angeles and unpacked
his bike.
I took his bike with the trailer, unpacked it, put my luggage into his trailer, and rode to the conference. And I was able to ride between my hotel room and the conference every day with the bike. So, but the fact of the matter is that all of us, with that level of commitment or with the commitment that somebody like Brad has, Brad still flies. Flying is contributing a tremendous amount of CO2, and we all are struggling with how to make this transition happen, where it's not something conscious anymore. It's something that it's just how our society works, and solar is a part of that. If it can become something that homes are simply built with solar, that's how we get our energy, then people don't have to think about it so much anymore. And we're trying to think about that with lots of other things. And I think that's the key thing about our company culture, is that people are really trying to push that envelope and make things bike recycling, something you don't even think
about. And then I love that somebody brings, everybody brings a different thing to the party. So I'm a nut about recycling of paper, and there is a demand for it, an incredible demand. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal on Monday about the demand that there is for recycled paper to supply restaurants with toilet paper and paper towels. And so it's that people say, well, I don't even know if it gets recycled. Well, they called the article, they're going deeper and dirtier to get more paper. And there are so many little things you can do. Workplaces with little bins under your desk. I have one under my desk, catalogchoice.org. It'll remove all your catalogs for you. I do that, and every once in a while they seep back in, and you can do that. It's a free service. Mm-hmm. So everybody brings something different to the party, but you talked about you hire people that have a fit and a match with what the corporate culture is, or I'm sure they migrate out. I mean, that's what happens with corporate cultures. It's something that is, and you don't preach it, you just be it. So I really love that piece. And you have gray water, which is also good. I would love to know what kind of toilets you have, because that's another one of my fixations. Mine is a 1.29-gallon high-efficiency toilet, and it I feel guilt-free. It's like, it's okay, I'm not flushing 3 gallons of water, which is before it's you can drink the water that you're flushing with.
Yes.
And in the countries around the world that don't even have access to clean water, millions, billions of people, 1.5 billion people. So that's a really good part of it, too. So what else would you like to say? Let's give your website. It's tfssolar.com, right? Yes. And I did notice on there, and I will. You should pass this on to your social media person. You have a Facebook page, and that is the absolute way that people are finding businesses and using social media. It's that tipping point we've already reached. So, okay, I think we have a caller, and I forgot to remind people, 520-880-5678. If you have questions for Kevin or comments or anything you want to know about Technicians for Sustainability. So we've got Kat finding out about that, maybe, I think. Okay. But I also want to go back to, people can learn about the values of your company, and you give free education classes. I was blown away. You have continuing education as part of the culture of giving back.
Yeah, we in the early days when my business partner and I were pre-2006, we were fortunate to get involved in building some solar education curriculum for TUSD in combination with some other great organizations. Both Tucson Electric Power sponsored and Environmental Education Exchange, which is a great local organization, put together a program, and my business partner and I went to schools around town and taught classes to the schools, and that has really continued. We love the opportunity to teach classes. We don't have a program so much as people call us and say, hey, would you be willing to come out and give a talk here or there, and we are very supportive of that, and have multiple staff. That's not just me. We have multiple staff who attend those and teach people about energy use and solar energy and water harvesting.
And it's really giving back. So many of the people, I told you this off air, the people in Mrs. Green's world that I get to meet, I just frequently feel like I'm in the presence of greatness, because it is a mindset of taking care of our community in every way that means. Miraval, they're a great community. I really cannot believe they hire so many people. People who are working out there stay there. They commit to buying local produce as much as they can, given that the demand never stops. So I really appreciate your coming here today and sharing with us about Technicians for Sustainability. I encourage listeners, visit their website, tfssolar.com, and always, if you can't find them, mrsgreensworld.com will connect you with anyone. And I want you to know, Kevin, you can put any event that you have up on our website for free. We're trying to become the place that people go to check for events, and we offer that to the community, and we're having it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much for your support of Mrs. Green this past week, and get out there and just do a random act of kindness. Go paint some bells at Ben's Bells or whatever is going to make you feel good, and go Cats. This is News Talk 790 KNST, Mrs. Green's World. Visit me at my website and sign up to follow me on Facebook. You'll be glad you did. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Mrs. Green's World on News Talk 790 KNST, all about learning that going green can be fun. Visit mrsgreensworld.com and tune in next Saturday at noon for Mrs. Green's World on News Talk 790 KNST.